Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls. Plus, one day only, tomorrow, take 50% off all Old Navy active at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only. Active offer 10/20, excludes in-store clearance.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome in to a very unhappy Locked On Rockets postgame. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Tough loss for the Rockets in Oklahoma City. We'll break it down in just a few moments. For now, I want to acknowledge that today's Locked On Rockets is brought to you courtesy of SeatGeek. If you download the mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets, you can use the promo code LORockets and get a $20 rebate on your first purchase. So, getting back to the game, 105-103 loss in which the Rockets went basically dead down the stretch. One happy thing, I'm joined today by a new guest on Locked On Rockets. You probably know him on Twitter as Brandon B. Noen, a.k.a. iBrandon300. Brandon, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ben.
Yeah, well, sure thing. Always glad to have your insight. I've always valued you for a long time. Of course, we've known each other going back 10 years. But I always know, this past year, I loved your takes on James Harden. You had a great call-in to Mike Meltzer and Seth Payne one time saying that, you know, Harden could average 15 assists a game if guys could just make open shots, which is what they've been doing this year until the last 6 minutes of tonight when, from 6:26 until literally the last second, they went 0 of 10 from the field, 0 of 7 from 3, literally did not score. Just sum up your emotions of the last 30 minutes, man.
Oh, man. It was one of the most frustrating periods. Like, I was sitting there looking at the TV, like, standing up. Every shot that they took, I was expecting one of them to fall, at least one. I mean, 6 whole minutes, that's unbelievable. It's improbable, honestly. And the Thunder, they were actually playing good enough defense to stay close to within one basket. And they couldn't just get over the hump. I guess it's just one of those things, but it's so rare to see a team go that cold. You know, and a team that shoots that many threes and had that many wide open looks to go that cold, it's kind of, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. I would say that it really stings, but big picture, you know me, I try and detach myself. You know, there's the emotion side of me during a game, and then big picture, I try and get a little more logical. Big picture, when I detach myself, I think you should feel better about this loss, because when you look at it, they were up 197, with about over 5 minutes left, and they stayed after it defensively. They played defensively really well. It's just they it wasn't a game where they didn't show up. You know, they gave the effort. Yeah. They did everything. Yeah.
You can't complain about the effort. The effort was definitely there. They just simply missed shots. It was a flashback to last year, honestly. It felt like, you know, that was a flashback to last year when Harden would hit you wide open.
Yeah.
You just had guys missing Corey Brewer. I mean, the thing that kills me about this game was that they wasted a magnificent bench performance from four guys. You know what I mean? You had Tyler Ennis, who he's been feeling the ire of Twitter probably, you know, the entire season. He comes in and plays magnificently, and you still can't get the W. So that's what makes it pretty tough for me. But you know, like you said, big picture, I mean, the Rockets appear to be a better team than OKC. Simply, Westbrook just outplayed Harden tonight. You got to give him his props and you know, move on. But hopefully they start knocking down shots. I mean, I'm still down. So
yeah.
Excuse my.
No, no worries.
Excuse my. Yeah.
No, Eric Gordon, 4 of 18 tonight. Well, actually, no, he hit the 1-3 in the last second. I wasn't going to count that. But
he could have kept that. I wish he wouldn't even made it.
Yeah, I know. I did too. It would be easy to say they didn't score in the final 6:26. That would be more fitting than having to explain, well, they got 1-3 after it was completely over. I mean, the obvious adjustments, you know, and the thing that was frustrating to me about those shots, as I said on Twitter, most of them weren't even close. They got pretty good looks, Ariza, Gordon, Harden, and it wasn't like they rattled in and out. They weren't even that close. So, you know, I don't know what to say. In terms of execution, there are two things that I noticed when things went wrong in the last six minutes. I would say there was about a minute where Harden had two possessions, maybe three, where he went a little too much hero ball. The ball stopped moving. I don't think he did it the entire way, just a couple of possessions. And then the other thing, our boy Rocket Intellect pointed it out on Twitter, but the Nene thing, especially against athletic teams, that does limit you. Because if you come up against a team like OKC that's so big and has a lot of athletic defenders, I mean, Roberson's not good enough to cover Harden one-on-one, but with his length, he can at least disrupt the passing lanes a little bit. And so, you know, if you have Capella, you always have that pick-and-roll option. You know, it's something other than shooting threes that you can do. The thing with Harden and Nene isn't athletic enough to finish inside against a guy like Steven Adams, so it makes you, I feel like, 100% dependent on the three. And, like, I feel like, Nene and Capella, it was set up this way, but as going into the year, D'Antoni was worried about Capella being so bad at free throws and teams hacking him down the stretch. And I get it. I've talked about it here. But to me, if Capella's making his free throws, I don't know, tonight seemed like a pretty clear case to, maybe consider getting him some run.
I definitely agree. It's time to look at that scenario, like that fourth quarter rotation scenario where you have Nene finishing the game. Capella's starting to look more confident at the line. I mean, I don't know if they would imply or use the hacker Capella method, but like you said, Nene just provide, like, the pick and roll is just is not an option. Like you said, he's not athletic enough to finish at the basket. Like, sometimes, I mean, he'll make a nice pass every now and then, but a lot of the times I notice that he'll lose the ball. It's just very frustrating to see. And, Capella, Harden and Capella have, developed this nice chemistry to where, he knows where he is, and Capella, he has a high percentage of finishing those passes and lobs. You gotta keep that in play at all times because you don't have an inside presence. And, when I look at it, I see a role for Donatus Mata-Unis. I don't know what the deal is with him and his agent, B.J. Armstrong, but it's just like, look, if you had a some kind of low post presence to maybe drop it down low every now and then when, threes aren't falling like tonight, that would have been very nice to have, like you said, Nene, they have to revisit that whole thing because, it's just not working out in the fourth quarter at this point.
It depends on what teams you play. There are some teams, the Spurs, when they have Aldridge and Gasol out there, that he can have some success against those kind of bigs. But against these, Steven Adams, that kind. The thing is, Harden's a great player, but these openings to Capella, they're not huge. It's a combination of Harden being a great passer. I mean, defenders are really good. It's a combination of Harden being a great passer and Capella being able to get up so quickly. The thing is, Nene's not the worst athlete in the world, but he's not Clint Capella. And so, just that extra half second that it takes Nene to kind of gather himself and go up after the pass, that's enough that it pretty much, it allows the defender to recover. Whereas Harden and Capella's quick enough that the defender just doesn't have that much speed.
Now, I couldn't put that any better. Like, that's exactly what's happening. I'm seeing, Capella, he just goes up and gets it. And it's just that simple.
Yep.
That's all it is to it.
Yep. Yeah. We'll get back to other Rockets Thunder things in just a moment, including what went wrong before the final 6 minutes. For now, I want to spin it forward for just a minute and acknowledge our sponsor at SeatGeek, because next two games, Rockets play the Blazers and Jazz at Toyota Center. Those are big games at home, and these are teams just like OKC that you're going to be competing with all year long to hopefully get home court advantage in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs. So if you want to be there, I strongly encourage you to look at the secondary market. Not a big fan of the box office, really, across pro sports these days. If you buy from the box office, you can be a victim of dynamic pricing where teams can just raise prices if you're playing a good opponent, if it's a weekend, whatever it may be. Teams oftentimes raise prices. They say it's higher demand, whatever, the tough schedule, whatever it may be. But if you go into secondary market, you're probably going to get better prices because on the secondary market, you get a lot of tickets that are sold from season ticket holders who buy them all year long at a lower rate. So when you go to secondary ticket sources, you can get some good deals, and SeatGeek is the best of the bunch. They rate every ticket from 1 to 100, so you know you're getting the best deal. And really, if you listen to this show, you can get an even better deal, because here's the important part. To get your $20 rebate on your first purchase, just download that SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Then enter the promo code LORockets. SeatGeek will then send you $20 in the mail after you've made your first purchase. So remember, download that SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LORockets today, and you can take in any of these games, Blazers on Thursday, Jazz on Saturday, and, well, any others the rest of the 2016-2017 season. Just go to SeatGeek, and they can be your source for Houston Rockets tickets. Now, getting back to this very disappointing game against the Thunder on Wednesday night, 105-103 loss, we've led off this show with Brandon B. Nolan of Twitter fame. One thing we always like to do is acknowledge our great Twitter viewers. We do have a lot of media people and basketball folks on the show, but it's not just about them. Twitter's got a lot of great minds, and just like Paul, a.k.a. Rocket Intellect, I've known Brandon a long time, really sharp guy, tremendous asset to the Rockets Twitter community, so I'm glad to have him on with us. And we spent the first few moments talking about what happened the last 6 minutes of the game when the Rockets inexplicably really couldn't make a basket. We're going to exclude that Eric Gordon shot because that was just ridiculous in the last second. We're going to say they didn't score. Let's go back to before that. What I thought was the swing moment of this game, the Rockets, you know, OKC, they had that early lead in which they got up 38-32 after one. And then the second and third quarters, the Rockets just took over this game. You know, defensively, offensively, they were the better team. Even when Harden wasn't playing that well, you know, he was still distributing the ball well. And the Rockets, especially defensively, just exerted their will and kind of took over the game. And where it fell apart to me, the end of the third quarter, the Rockets went up 11, felt really comfortable. And then all of a sudden, you blink, 2 minutes pass, and it's a 5-point game. And that's where I could go. That not the fourth quarter, that's where I would fault Harden for hero ball. And my take on it, I'm not going to, you know, James has been unbelievable this year. Even after this game, he's still the MVP of the league thus far. But I would say the thing with James, he didn't get the foul calls he usually gets this game. I would say it was bad officiating. But to me, what happened late in the third quarter, it looked like to me he was sulking a little bit. He didn't want to drive because he didn't think he was going to get that call. He took a couple of bad threes. And before you know it, you know, OKC gets within five, the crowd's back to life, and you just knew at that point that it was going to be a tight game down the stretch.
Yeah, Oladipo, you got to give him credit as well. He played a really good game. Like, I don't remember him having that type of jump shot. I mean, maybe he did in Orlando, but, I mean, it seemed like tonight it was just, he wasn't going to miss anything. And it never stopped. Like, he, from start to finish, he was on. And so even when the Rockets got the lead, he's the one who kept OKC afloat, you know, when Westbrook was out the game. Like, and like you said, Harden started, you know, he knew he wasn't getting the calls, and he did start to sulk a little bit and start settling for some bad shots. So like I said, every now and then he will revert back to, you know, the pre D'Antoni days of, you know, where he just feels like, hey, I can score on anybody, which he can. And sometimes he just, you know, veers off course a little bit. And it happened tonight. And, I mean, what can you say? I mean, you got to give, like I said, give OKC credit. Harden did get the normal calls he normally gets. He also missed a lot of free throws uncharacteristically.
Three free throws,
Yeah, and that was another little factor in play.
Yeah, because a couple of those felt like kind of swing moments, too, where he kind of took the foot off the gas a little bit with those missed free throws. The other thing I would point out, I'm not going to make excuses for the Rockets because bottom line, they should have won this game anyway. They let one slide, and if they're competing with OKC for playoff positioning, they're going to regret this one. Now, the upside, I think we agree, the Rockets should be a better team than OKC anyway. I think you could see tonight, even in Oklahoma City, the Rockets were the better team if they could just get out of their own way. Now, the one way that I would say the Rockets, not making excuses, but I feel bad for them a little bit. I think they would have loved to have switched these Portland and Oklahoma City games to have Portland on the front end and OKC on the back, because this was a game, if you would have had Pat Beverley to stay in front of Russell Westbrook, I think that would have helped a whole heck of a lot, especially down the stretch of the game. You know, the last couple of plays when, they couldn't score much, but the two plays they did get, you know, Westbrook getting the big step and then the jam over Capella, and then the, when he head faked Nene and got the foul with 28 seconds left, although he just made one of two free throws. I feel like Beverley, of course, I'm sure he wanted to play in this game, but my guess is that bringing him back, hadn't played in a month, and then asking him to play against Russell Westbrook and Damian Lillard back-to-back nights, I think that was asking a little much. So they probably played it smart from a, it's an 82-game season standpoint, but short-term, God, I bet Pat was pissed because my guess is this was a game that Pat Beverley would love to make an imprint on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, the thing about Pat Beverly that people seem to overlook is that he has, at the end of games, he has this incredible knack to reel in timely rebounds. Like, not only does he play tough defense and is scrappy and gets on the other guy's nerves, he always seems to come up with loose balls or even sometimes skying over somebody like 4 or 5 inches taller than him just to reel in a rebound. Little things like that, that's what makes Pat Beverly so valuable. And I'll be glad to have him back because I know tonight we could have definitely used him. And, you know, tomorrow it'll be good to see him out there. I'll be at that game tomorrow. And I'm glad to see the Wolverine back, man.
Yeah.
We definitely need him.
Yeah, everybody will. Got two more topics I want to get your take on before we close this out. First, Ryan Anderson. This is such a, you know, no one's going to say he's worth $80 million. But, you know, I think we all knew that when the contract was made. That was a, you know, as I've said, it was a narrative-changing thing. They had to get somebody to say yes. And then with getting him, you got Gordon, too. I will say to me, you know, I like what he brings offensively. Certainly, his ability to hit from three, just the fact you have to play him out to 27 feet, does a lot for the spacing of the offense. But, you know, the longer it goes into a season, seeing him struggle so much to finish at the rim concerns me. Because you need, you know, I feel like that's where you can see his athleticism going a little bit. You know, a couple of years ago, before he had the neck surgery, before he had some of the injuries, you know, he was a pretty decent athlete. He's not a bad athlete now, but he's just an okay athlete now. But he's a little bit, you know, he's a little bit undersized. And so, I don't know, to me, if your power forward can't really finish within 5 feet at all, there are certain matchups where that gets really tricky because, you know, just like we talked about at the end of the night, you know, you'd like to have another option if you can't buy a three to save your life. But with Ryan, it just seems like, you know, it's either a three or maybe he creates off the dribble. You know, I didn't expect him to be a post presence, but I don't know. I think it's fair to be a little bit underwhelmed with what he's given you around the basket. It just seems like everything gets blocked. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's like he can't finish around the rim. It's a struggle. Like, he gets his shot blocked. And, like, you know, watching Ryan Anderson play, it's similar to playing NBA 2K and, like, pressing all the offensive buttons on your way to the basket. Like, he tries every single move that he has on his way to the basket. It's just like, Ryan, shoot the ball. If you get any kind of space, shoot the ball. We don't need you to pump fake and drive because we already have Ariza who, like, his dribbling, like, Ariza's dribbling skills worry me all the time. And, you know, when he puts the ball on the floor, it's a very high chance that something bad is going to happen. So it's just like, I don't need another Ariza. Just shoot the ball, Ryan. If you don't have any space, pass it out because, like you said, it's really an eyesore to see this guy try to navigate to the rim. And like, with the athletic guys in the NBA, he gets nowhere. They cut him off. He has to stop and, you know, pivot and look for somewhere to pass to. It's just a disaster, you know. Well, it's not a disaster, but I'm, like I said, you know, it's – he can – I do love what he provides, like you said, you know, a spot-up shooter, somebody who can knock down three. But when he's not hitting those threes, man, it's we want to have Demo back to pair with him and next to, you know, to kind of offset
Like I said, it feels like if you look at his box scores, the Rockets kind of go as Ryan Anderson goes because when he – you know, when he's on, they're good, but when he's off, it's like, where else are they going to get the scoring inside? Now, thankfully, Clint Capella started playing a little bit better over the past week, but, you know, it goes back to the minutes issue earlier. You'd like for Mike D'Antoni to start playing him more than, you know, just 24 a night. Flip side, Ryan Anderson, you know, hadn't been the best week or so for him. The upside, man, Sam Decker, I'm getting more bullish on him with every game. Like, I figured you would be too. The thing I am with Sam that I'm really encouraged to see, it's how he makes mistakes. Like, I always judge players not based on what their high points are, but what their low points are, you know. You know, he's making the threes, which is a really good sign, shooting over 40%, and that was perceived as one of his, you know, sketchy areas. So as I said during the game, back surgery is not a good thing for anybody, but I think he did use that year to clearly work on his form, get better. The thing that really encourages me with Sam, just in these past couple of weeks, when he struggles, like, go back to that Knicks game. Remember when he tripped over himself and dribbled the ball off his head? You know, you could just see he was kind of, you know, tentative. Not bad, because he clearly has the athleticism, he has the IQ, he has the explosion. Like, there are moments that he looks a little tentative on the dribble, you know, where he's kind of trying to feel out, you know, do I still have my athleticism? Do I have the angles? What can I do against NBA players? And it just feels like every game that he's getting a little bit better. Like, there were a couple of plays tonight. You know, yes, I'm glad he made a couple of threes, but what really makes me happy, it feels like every game he's adding a little bit more off the dribble. And, of course, now he's getting more minutes because, you know, if and when they bring Demo back, and they should, then obviously that's going to take a lot of your backup 4 minutes, but you still want Decker to play. He's that good, so he's got to play some at the three. But it seems like every game he's adding a little bit more off the bounce, off the dribble. And long-term, that's the big thing because, you know, he shouldn't be, you know, he's such a smart guy and he's such a good athlete. He shouldn't just be a spot-up shooter. He should be, I know everybody hates the comparison because they're both white guys, yada, yada, but, you know, Sam Decker, Chandler Parsons, they do have some similarities. Do you see it?
I definitely see it, but to me, what I see with Sam Decker is a person who's actually like a lot more athletic than Chandler Parsons. He plays really good defense for a guy in basically his first year. Like he's a very smart defender. He sticks. He always has his hands up. He's not reaching. He's not slapping for the ball. He stays with his guy. Like, I'm very encouraged by what I see with Sam Decker. You know what I mean? And he's looking like the Sam Decker I remember from Wisconsin, you know, when him and Kaminsky were, you know, getting to the NCAA championship. He's starting to look like himself. I guess that back surgery or whatever, it slowed him down a lot. Yep. And he's starting to look like a real player. I would not mind, you know, if we do get Demo back or something like that, for them to, you know, give Decker Corey Brewer's minutes. I don't know how that was still with a lot of other people, but for me, you know, Brewer's 3-point shooting, man, it's so atrocious that he, in this offense, in this system, you can't, I don't know, man. I don't think the good outweighs the bad for Brewer, so.
That was going to be my last question. Getting back to Sam, when I say comparing Decker to Parsons, I'm thinking first-year Parsons. Because if you remember back when he was a rookie, he was really athletic. He had so many, that was back in 2011, you know, putback jams, all that kind of stuff. And you know, the longer he was in Houston, you know, his last couple of years, I think it was a combination of him playing starters minutes, and also he started having some problems with his back and his knees. And so between playing minutes, higher usage, and his body breaking down, he didn't look as athletic. But early in his career, Chandler looked really athletic. It's just some of that has, you know, eroded a little bit. Last question I was going to ask you about Brewer. Now, certainly when you get Demo back, I would think that definitely squeezes Brewer out of the rotation because hands down, Sam Decker's a better player. Even right now, because Demo's nowhere to be found for the time being, even now, I think there's a fair argument to play KJ McDaniels over him, and a lot of people have been making it. Now, the counter to it, and I've said, just to be fair, I do understand without Pat Beverly, Brewer's a smarter player than KJ McDaniels. Does that make sense?
I definitely agree, I'll give him that.
Yeah, even though KJ's, you know, more athletic and he can do more things, you know, away from the ball, like Brewer, you know, I trust Brewer to pick up Russell Westbrook more, even though Brewer had some lowlights against Russ tonight, but that's beside the point. You know what I'm saying? Like, I trust Corey Brewer not to do something stupid one-on-one against Russell Westbrook. But my theory is that, now that Bev's back, starting tomorrow, you shouldn't have as many huge, glaring defensive liabilities. I'm thinking that maybe give you a little bit more of a window to play KJ. I mean, I know KJ wasn't perfect, but he showed more ability to hit threes. He's also clearly got more upside. You know, my fear with Corey, first off, I love Corey. Great guy. One of the best interviews in the team. Incredibly nice to everybody in the media. Great dude. But my fear with Corey, he doesn't seem like a guy who's going to age well. You know, because like the ticket to playing well in the NBA in your 30s is typically shooting. You know, whatever you lose offensively, you know, you try and offset with, you know, continuing to refine your stroke, get more fundamentally sound. To me, Corey's always been a guy who's been made based on his, you know, his speed, his transition ability, his cutting. And I won't say that he's like night and day slower than 2 years ago, but Corey just feels like a guy where even if his speed slips a tiny bit, you combine that with his poor shooting, and all of a sudden, you know, I just don't see what the future is for him. Whereas KJ's got upside.
Yeah, that's basically the way I see it as well. Because Corey Brewer, you know, like I said, in this system where the Rockets leading the league in 3-point attempts, and the, you know, teams purposely leaving him, you know, wide open to take the threes because they don't respect his shot. And like you said, like his game is predicated on slashing and running. you know, and get into the rim. And when none of that's working, and it just looks like a total just train wreck sometimes with Brewer. So I don't know what the downside of playing. Like you said, he is a more experienced player than KJ McDaniels. But, you know, all in all, yeah, the only way that KJ McDaniels can improve, you know, in that area is to play, you know, and get some game experience and, you know, see what he can do. Because, like I said, last year they were underutilizing him, and you see what he can do sometimes this year. Hey, I'm just like, hey, let the guy play, man. You know, because Corey Brewer, how can I say? I was a big Corey Brewer fan, and you know, I do like that. You know, he does, like, he has some veteran leadership to provide to the team. But he's just like, you know, I want to put the most athletic guys we can out there and see what James Harden can do with them. That's what we gotta do.
Yep, and you could see early on that Harden and KJ definitely had pretty good chemistry. Just like I said, you know, Corey, he makes sense to an extent with Beverly out, because you can say there's a little bit of a void of veteran intangibles on ball D, that kind of stuff. But with Beverly coming back, I'd say that excuse, you know, starts to fade. You know, hopefully KJ gets more of a look in the weeks ahead. The other thing, you know, kind of my parting shot on this, I know, you know, Corey gave the Rockets a great run 2 years ago, but in a way it feels kind of like Josh Smith, who's playing in China now. Both of those guys, you know, their freelancing ability was exactly what the Rockets needed 2 years ago, but their profile, Corey, Josh, neither one of them is going to age well. You know, neither one of them are players that are going to play to their mid to late 30s in the NBA. And, you know, that's why Josh isn't here anymore. And unfortunately, I don't know how much longer of Corey Brewer has as a rotation player either.
Like, you know, I feel like this team would be so much better with someone like a 3-and-D player playing Corey Brewer's minutes. I just see it. Like, the minutes that he's getting, the looks that he gets, if we had somebody who could consistently knock down threes in that same spot and, you know, at least competently defend, I mean, it would add so much more, you know, to this team, you know?
Yep, and we don't know if KJ McDaniels is that guy. Only way you can find out is by playing him. What we do know is that Corey Brewer is not that guy. Brandon, that's my take. Glad to have some backup on it. Brandon, thank you so much for the time. Before I let you go, toss out your Twitter handle for anybody that's not already following you. Brandon, he keeps it real. That's what he does. He's one of the best followers on Houston sports, not just the Rockets, but the Texans and Astros too. So tell everybody where they can find you.
iBrandon300, iBrandon300. You know, just hit me up. And I'm always talking about sports. Ben is my man. Ben has one of the, for everybody listening, Ben DuBose has one of the sharpest sports memories of anybody you'll ever meet ever in life. Like, it's unbelievable to, like, this, just the minuscule, minor details that he remembers from, like, years ago. It's amazing. Yep. He's like an elephant, man. So, I enjoyed the time on the show, Ben. Hopefully we can do it again.
Absolutely. Be glad to have you back. Have a good night, man.
All right, you too.
That's my boy Brandon. Love talking with him. One of the best Twitter followers on my timeline. Like I said, whatever the sport, he cares about Houston sports. He remembers that stuff just as well as I do. That's why we have so much mutual respect for each other. I think, you know, we each see a little bit of ourselves in the other person. So I always appreciate diehards like that, that really care. You know, just as I want to have great media voices and people around the Rockets, I also want to have great fans on the show as well, because this isn't just a show about any one thing. This is about the Houston Rockets and every part of the Houston Rockets community. That's what we want to represent. Again, that's iBrandon300 on Twitter, a.k.a. Brandon B. Dohen. That's the name he goes by. But like I said, I've known Brandon for 10 years. Great guy. Started on Clutch Fans, God, more than 10 years ago. I'd say 11, 12 years ago, playing OOTP Sim League Baseball. And for any of our ex-OOTP people that are listening, got two words for you. Bare hands. Anyway, with that inside joke out of the way, I'm going to close out this episode of Locked On Rockets. I think we've gone on long enough. Again, that was Brandon. You can follow him on Twitter at iBrandon300. I'm Ben DuBose. You can follow me simply at Ben DuBose. And you can follow the show, Locked On Rockets, on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can also email us at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com if you've got any questions for me, or if you would like to inquire about becoming a potential sponsor of this show, just as SeatGeek was for today's Locked On Rockets. Again, remember that they are the sponsor of today's show. And if you download their mobile app, You can easily buy tickets, and if you use the promo code LORockets, you can get a $20 rebate on your first purchase, and you can be in Toyota Center tomorrow night for when the Rockets play the Blazers, or Saturday afternoon when they have a 4 p.m. tip against the Utah Jazz. For now, I'm going to sign off. Thanks to all of you for listening. Apologies for the game. Thunder 105, Rockets 103. Tough loss, but certainly better days ahead, and I'll be with you for them. Thanks for listening to Locked On Rockets, and we'll be back with you again tomorrow night when the Rockets take on the Blazers in Houston.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.